This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bohemia, everyone. I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hard one, Surefoot.
Emily Axford.
Moonshine Sabin, you can take the bitch out the crick, but you can't take the crick out the bitch.
And Caldwell Tanner.
Beverly Togold, you're a star with a scar.
Oh, Beverly is so hurt.
Oh, boy.
Huh.
Emotionally and physically.
Yeah, he's a wreck. He's a mess. He's right fucked.
So you guys did level up last time, so all of our players are level 5 right now.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Even though it's really funny to imagine Beverly is getting stronger, crumpled on the ground.
Hey, experience. I had a lot of it.
He did learn not to make gods angry.
Yeah. No more practical jokes on gods.
Beverly, the god pranker. Now I have a title.
God pranker is pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I didn't actually prank him.
Right, it was a botched prank.
Botched. But,
a botched prank is nothing.
Yeah.
It's
when you
nothing.
Sing my song.
It's a failure.
When you tell my tales and sing my songs, please say that I pranked the gods.
Oh, I got a song.
Oh, boy.
So let's do a recap, guys. Last week, you guys met Tonathan Tinkle, played by our friend Nathan Yaffe. He was a gnomish wizard / cleric who had heard, pray tell, of a mythical being in the Galateron Glades who could answer any question. You guys traveled along the Golden Road and on the way ran into Moonshine's cousin, Cooter.
Oh, Cooter, good to see you.
Cooter.
Cooter informed you that folks down at the Crick are coming down with Crick Rot. A zombifying disease that seems to be emanating from the Crick itself.
Do we have to go there?
I mean, we gotta save the water. I'm not gonna just like get rid of the water and leave it a dry
Fair.
Bed.
This campaign is all building to going to the Crick. I just have a running list of all the insane things Emily makes up, and someday we'll
get
go there. There.
It'll be like if Disneyland got the norovirus.
So Cooter's been running the sicker Crick elves up to Galateron to receive healing from the High Priest Merrick Highhill, but even his magic has only been able to stabilize the sick Cricks and not cure them fully.
Sick Crick.
You also saw wanted posters for a mystery woman called the Widow.
Ooh.
I mean, I know Cooter's sick and that's all serious, but the Widow, huh?
Yeah. She's got some really nice cheekbones.
Yeah.
That's all we could see from the
Yeah, you guys, she had her hood up, so all you see is
strong chin.
Mm-hmm. Oh my. Mm-hmm.
Not a whisker on it.
Full lips. Not a whisker on it, but she's still pretty cute.
Yeah.
Despite not having a mustache.
You guys made your way into the Galateron Glades and found the Tower of the Watchmen, but first you had to earn the trust of Uku and the other Goliath monks who protected it. After a few bumps in the road, you guys passed the Watchmen trials and were permitted to climb the tower. You defeated the ghost in the tower, then met the Watchmen, the big spectral head with dozens of spider-like eyes, and you were each able to ask a question. Moonshine found out that the Crick rot couldn't be cured by normal means and was demonic influence. Hard One found out that his parents' names were Lydia and Elias Stormborn. Tonathan found out the location of the three heroes. Theala and Ulfgar are headed to Galadron, and Alanis was not on this plane. Beverly found out that the reason his amulet had cracked was because Theala had broken her pact with Pelor. Beverly then attempted to trick the all-knowing god into eating a poison berry. It was promptly thrown from the tower where he almost died.
Holy shit.
I mean, like 50-50.
Saved only by the mechanics of D&D.
We were talking about how when you fall every 10 feet, you take a D6 of damage, but there's a max because mm-hmm. there are certain spells and skills that allow you to throw people
off of
towers and stuff.
Your bones can only get so broken.
Right, so there's a max amount of damage, so you can't like spam damage and kill legendary beasts and whatnot.
Right.
And Beverly is alive because of that.
because of the true god of D&D mechanics.
The true god of this world is the direct messenger. So right now let's talk about the consequences of Beverly's fall.
Yes.
That's where we'll begin. Beverly, I need you to roll a D4.
Okay.
And your goal here is to get as low as possible.
Oh boy.
Is this about the size of the scar?
Probably he is so hurt. This is about more than just his body.
Oh, I gotta guess what it is.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Go ahead and roll a D4. Get low.
So high.
That's a three.
Okay.
Okay.
All three of your healing potions shattered.
Cool. Fair.
So they're gone.
All right.
You lost your healing potions. So as you guys,
Papa's lapping up the broken, lapping up the Papa. Get
Papa. You look so healthy.
Papa is super healthy right now. He looks
so
great.
Strong.
Your coat is shiny and slick as a newborn seal.
Papa, were your teeth always that sharp and white?
Papa,
my God.
Are you doing push-ups with all four legs?
Look at your pecs.
Your nipples are so pronounced.
So many pecs and so many nipples.
Papa's just as big as a bullywug now. He's just a possum man.
Papa, are you always been high?
What else happens?
Barnaby, Tonathan's owl stabilizes Beverly, but Beverly...
If you recall, I ripped off Beverly's young Bev's humor patch.
Yeah, it's gone.
Moonshine, in an act of inhospitality, ripped off that patch.
So, Beverly, you are at 1 HP now and conscious.
Great.
You don't feel your legs.
Not great. okay, I feel like... I'm just laying there unconscious on the ground.
You're at 1 HP. You're conscious, but you're like in shock. You are so hurt. Hard One and Moonshine, when you give him a look over, you see his legs are just completely shattered, bones poking out, just nightmare.
Hard One takes his ass out from behind
your back.
The legs gotta go.
I think we could probably save him. I know some good doctors. I have a pediatrician.
I'm trying to remember how many spells I had left. I don't remember how many spells.
All right, we'll figure it out fast because Hard One just removed his belt and tied it in as Bev biting down on the leather.
Can I just try a cure wounds on his legs?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Am I even able to talk, or am I just out of it?
You can talk. Okay, you're cool. Probably pretty hysterical.
Cool, yeah.
Okay, young Bev, calm down. Okay, 7 plus 7, 14.
14, you heal him for 14?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool, you see the wounds on his legs start to heal up.
Ow, 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 ow!
Yeah, they start
to set,
and they crunch.
Say the word, and I'm them up.
And you see his legs look like skin bags full of broken bones.
Okay. Y'all,
you forgot to heal the bones.
Y'all, I would not be a Crick if I could not admit my limitations, and I do not believe I can heal bones.
You see, Uku walks over to you guys. He puts Tonathan down, and some of the monks take Tonathan away.
Bye.
Bye, Tonathan. Uku walks over and goes, oh, man, were you, was somebody a dick to the god?
He tried your fucking berry prank.
I told you not to do the berry prank.
I thought he'd think it was funny. I thought that gods had a sense of humor. Pelor has a great sense of humor. Pelor's the god of laughter and mirth.
Young Bev, look at the hole in your patch sash and tell me if you have a good sense of humor.
I don't have any more. I think I've lost my sense of humor for good.
Yeah. I'm not sure why you had the patch in the first place.
Yeah,
kid.
What did you do to get that patch in the
first
place?
You have to do one stand-up set.
Does it have to go well?
You only have to bomb once. You have to get one clap.
Scoutmaster Denny gave him his humor patch.
Yeah. Scoutmaster Denny was hilarious.
I can't believe Scoutmaster Denny has continued to ruin your life.
I think I need to replace the humor patch with a forgiveness patch.
We got to try to fix your legs.
Yeah,
Uku,
so yeah.
Is there anything to be done for this kid here?
Well, we've got, you know, a few clerics around here. They're pretty low level, though. I mean, you know, you hurt yourself to a certain point, you're kind of screwed, right? You know what I mean?
Maybe we could take him to Galateron. What's the Merrick High Hill? He's the high priest that heals the Krikrot, right?
Oh, yeah. If he's helping my people.
I've been to his office before. He's my pediatrician.
Wow, you're like 15, kid. You're still going to a pediatrician? Jesus.
I like the lollipops. Also, halflings age slower.
That's absolutely true. You're like human 8. All right, you know what? Why don't we bring him into the temple? Why don't you guys take a rest? We'll heal him up as best we can. We'll make him like a little backpack so you, Hard One, can carry him. That'll be kind of cute.
I'm going to hoder this kid across the head, right?
Uku, do you know if young Bev is in danger of just, like, do we need to, young Bev, earmuffs.
I cover my ears.
He's still in so much pain, Beverly. Your legs are shattered.
Was Hard One onto something? Do we need to sever these appendages?
You know, the cure wounds that you did probably, you know, cleaned up the wounds and stuff, but he's pretty messed up. He's going to need, like, a greater restoration spell or something. You need, like, a really high-level cleric to help him out here.
And you don't have any clerics like that here, do you?
Not that high level, no way.
I'm just asking.
I don't need a rest. Do you need a rest?
I mean, we can, if we're just getting, I mean, Galateron, is it a safe path to Galateron?
Yeah, you can just take the road.
Let's get there.
We can boogie.
Cure this little kid, if
you
can.
I can cast Longstrider on you to try to mitigate any inconveniences of wearing a young boy as a backpack.
I can't handle it.
Boy pack.
Okay, I guess I'll cast it on myself then. I'll just be real fast. Actually, let me cast it on Pawpaw so that he can just go so fast.
Oh, Pawpaw's really strong right now. Can we all ride Pawpaw to Galateron?
He's just scrambling around faster than you've ever seen. He runs in and out of the illusion. So healthy and fast.
Okay. Let's hit the road.
You know, if you cast it on me, like maybe we could put Bev in like a little wheelbarrow or something and just get him to Galateron.
I suggested the backpack. I thought that would be cute.
All right, gang?
Backpack seems fun.
I mean, his legs are super broken. You can kind of tie him around your waist.
He can tie his legs around. You could just have him out.
Ow, ow, ow.
Oh, God, these sacks of loose bones. Fine. Let's go.
Can I take the earmuffs off?
No.
Okay.
No, keep them on.
Green teens dance around all throughout the forest. Green teens, here we are.
He fucked up more than his legs, didn't he?
Just shattered legs.
Shattered legs and so many concussions. I will tell you,
and he also
has
a huge scar on his face.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I will tell you, I appreciate the sunshine and young Bev spirits, even in the face of the cloud of adversity.
I'm trying to, you know, I feel like maybe Pelor's trying to tell me something here. Either I should trust him more or trust him less. I haven't quite decided yet, but...
Yeah, was that Pelor testing your faith? I mean, do you believe, is Pelor sort of an Abrahamic sort of a vengeful deity?
Pelor is all about spreading light and goodness and joy, and that's what I was trying to do with my berry prank, but it...
I think you just tried to pull a goof on a god, you know? And you just... That's the number one rule. Don't
Lesson
goof
learned.
A god.
Yeah, I feel like... I think that by letting me live, Pelor might have been trying to tell me something, but I think I need to speak with the... I need to talk to Theala. I need to find her. I need to talk with the high priest in town. I just need more information.
But before we do any of that, let's try to make sure that your bones don't fall out of your ass.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's get you to Galateron.
Yeah, my legs are soup. Let's fix this.
So Uku helps you guys. He brings in some of the monks. They put together a little hide backpack, like a baby backpack, whereas it's basically a
Beverly
baby.
Bjorn.
It's a Beverly Bjorn.
I pull one of the monks aside and say, can you just like quick fashion one of those for Papa?
He nods and he makes a quick one for Papa. Mm.
Dope.
Possum pouch. Can you make it like sort of like a little kangaroo pouch so I can wear them like I'm his mama roo?
He hands you a berry and walks away.
Freaking berries.
So you guys now look like really fucked up young parents. You just have a possum and a baby Bjorn and a backpack with a boy in it.
Oh, but you look like
a crippled green tea.
Just legs hanging out.
But you look like such a good partner, Hardwon, because you're like contributing and carrying.
That's nice. It's the kind of parenting I never had.
Yeah, just hangover.jpg.
So are you guys heading out to Glateron?
Yeah, let's get there. Do you want to do the Longstrider thing?
Yeah. Longstrider, so Hardwon's real fast.
And can we try and keep up?
Yeah.
So you can, maybe you try and scoot real fast, and me and Pawpaw will come as quick as we can, but we may fall behind.
Beverly makes an ambulance noise with his mouth.
Wee-woo.
Hardwon puts on earmuffs.
I like to imagine that Beverly's acting exactly the same as he always does, but he's also crying the whole time.
I definitely say the way that Beverly's reacting, I don't think he learned anything. Yeah.
Can we give him a little bit of the crick moonshine?
Oh, that's a good call.
So
what is it called?
It's just crick water.
Crick water. Yeah, I just say, young Bev, I know you got a taste for this. Let's not pussyfoot around this. And then I just let him chug some crick water.
You're gonna have a walk me. We're gonna have a walk me down
we're
for the way
to
walk
me down.
Beverly, you feel great.
I hope I can walk me down again.
You can't even. You don't even remember that your legs are horribly broken.
Oh,
it's gonna Bjorn me down.
I think that I just like
ride
for
me down.
For full clarity, giving like a peek inside Beverly's brain. He's just trying to put on a good face for his scoutmasters, but Beverly is fucking torn up inside about what has happened.
Yeah.
Young Bev.
Cool.
And now Beverly has to admit to his dad that he fell off a tower.
We're going to try to heal your legs before you see your dad.
Yeah,
right?
I think I whisper that to you. I'm like, please don't let my dad find out.
Done.
All right.
So you guys get motoring. As you head to Glateron, let me give you guys a little background on Glateron. Remember how we do that?
Yeah.
For Ezra and Moonstone. So let's do it for this. So Glateron is one of the most influential cities in Bohemia and the capital of the Humanoid Empire. Before the war against Asmodeus, the city was run by a king and a council of elected officials. But during the war against Asmodeus, King Henrik Asagar was killed in battle, leaving his 10-year-old son, Robin, in charge. The boy king was not fit to lead, and without a strong leader, the council was caught in constant political gridlock and was slow to act on the growing threat of Asmodeus's army. Finally, Theala, Ulfgar, and Alanis convinced the boy king to dissolve the council and replace them with a single advisor who would be quick to deal with the Dark Army. Theala was the first advisor, commanding the Glateron army and toppling the cursed city of Asmodia. Once the war was over, Theala disappeared and was replaced by High Priest Hubert Duncap, a geriatric cleric who is borderline incomprehensible. But now, Merrick Highhill, a highly capable cleric, friend of the Green Knights, and priest of the Nature Domain, is about to take over the position.
Oh.
You forgot to mention that he's also a pediatrician.
And he's also Beverly's pediatrician.
Would that be the old guy who's about to get replaced?
Hubert Duncap.
Can we just pause? That's a great name.
Yeah. Oh,
A-plus name.
Thank
I love
you.
That a lot.
You can tell he's useless by his useless name.
Yep.
So you guys approach Glateron, a.k.a. the city in the clouds, the castle on the crag. There is a giant bridge that arcs from the Golden Road to the mountain where the city sits. It's a mile-long uphill climb, but boy, is it majestic. It's a beautiful.
Fuck, I love this image.
It's a beautiful spring day, and the bridge is full of people excited to enter the city or excited to be off on whatever adventure they're about to embark on. There are brightly colored hot air balloons transporting people from the lower part of the city to the top. You can see a tram.
Moonshine definitely clocks this and is like, if we have a day off.
You can see a tram snaking its way down the mountain, occasionally disappearing into the tunnel system deep in the mountain. Knights in beautiful plate mail wave from hovering airships, and you can just catch sight of the castle standing at the top of Glateron, its spires hidden in the clouds.
Ooh la la. If I could control weather, I would get rid of those clouds and get a peek at those spires.
Your mountain is way nicer than mine.
Thank you. I shakily whisper to Moonshine, I have a season pass on the balloon rides.
You actually do.
Yeah.
That is how. So the poorer people, not even poor, just middle class, lower class, they take the tram.
And the people who live in Upper Glateron, they have a hot air balloon that takes them up.
Cool. Can we walk up to one of these hot air balloons and show them Bev's broken golden foot?
Yeah. You agree? Yeah. You absolutely can. So as you guys
just wag my broken foot,
almost like using a passed out person's finger to unlock their.
No, it's
phone.
Like my it's like my fucking Metro card.
Yeah.
This is the Fast Pass at Disney.
Yeah.
So as you guys approach the balloon, you see a Crick Elf guy with a eye patch leaving the tram system, and he's got a giant blunderbuss.
Do I know him?
Yeah, you do recognize him.
Oh,
you
I
recognize
do?
Him. This guy
I
is known as...
I swear I know that face.
This Crick Elf right here?
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to go over, and I go over and I do like an intricate Crick handshake and see if he reciprocates.
So this guy, unlike the other Crick elves who are very hospitable and stuff, this guy is an old kind of grizzled Crick hunter. And it's not that he's not hospitable. Mm. It's just that he's a little bit more serious. So you go to do the handshake and he's kind of just a couple steps behind you, like moving real slow.
How you doing, Moonshine? It's been a while since I seen you.
Yeah, what's your name? It escapes me right now. I saw your face, though. That didn't escape me.
Oh, you know me. I'm Old Cobb.
Old Cobb. Well, get the heck out. What sort of croc you catch to get here?
You know, something ain't right at the Crick.
Yeah.
So I came here to make things right.
What you hunting with that blunderbuss? Who's tasting the fruits of that blunderbuss?
He pulls out a wanted poster of the widow, and he says,
I tracked the widow to Glateron. If I find her, that's 10,000 gold pieces for Old Cobb.
Wow. Well, if you catch her, real quick, could I just have maybe 10, 15 minutes with her? Because, oh, Lord, what I wouldn't give to just be a crumb on her coffee cake, if you know what I mean. Pretty face like that.
We can't even see her face.
But... Yeah, I know. Just great jawline. Anyways, go on. I'm so sorry.
He doesn't laugh, but he says...
That's really funny, Moonshine.
Cool. Old Cobb, I forgot about you and your vibe.
I love to laugh.
Oh, I'm really? So sorry. I've been so rude. These are my compatriots. I got Hardwon.
Where is my hospitality? How you doing, Hardwon? I'm Old Cobb.
I heard, yeah. Good to see you, man.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
And who's this little fellow with the broken spaghetti legs?
Hi, Beverly Togold. Very nice to meet you. I see several spots right now.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get me that reward so I can... bring in some clerics to the Crick. Make things right.
What an honorable cause. I'll tell you what. We have got to get this little spaghetti leg guy to a cleric in there. And we're going to hitch a hot air balloon to do that. But...
Ooh, you're highfalutin' in Glateron here.
Well, I wag his golden foot at him. Yeah, ooh. We got a golden ticket.
Yeah.
That is a nice boy foot.
Yeah, polished to a high sheen.
Thank you.
Yeah. But perhaps we could rendezvous on the other side in the city.
I'll tell you what, Moonshine.
And he hands you a stone.
This is called a sending stone. Give you a direct line, Old Cobb.
Who's highfalutin now?
Wow.
Pulling sending stones out your pocket like it ain't no thing?
I got a lot of speaking rocks.
My parents won't let me have one of those until I'm 16.
Okay, well, yes, I will absolutely be hitting up this sending stone.
Well, you hear anything about the widow, you give Old Cobb a call, all right?
Okay, or if, you know, we might hit up a tavern if all goes well with the cleric today, in which case I'll also use that sending stone. Is it a one-time kind of use thing? How How lax can I be with this sending stone?
What's the minutes plan?
Let's say you can beat. I think normally you can only use it once, but it's funnier if you could use it multiple times. So this is kind of just a burner cell phone you can use to call old cop.
We might drunk dial you later, depending on how things go, old cop.
You know what? Believe it or not, a lot of people say I'm not fun to hang out with. So
we're having a great time.
Kind of brings a tear to old cop's eye, knowing that you might want to get a drink with old cop.
Yeah, honestly, I remember getting drinks long time ago with old Cobb and just emptying all the bullets out the blunderbuss and just putting funny things in it.
I love putting funny things in my cup.
I didn't realize old Cobb had such a sense of humor.
You know what?
He's the funniest guy at the crick.
I like to goof around.
Really?
I gave him a cobalt tooth to put in his blunderbuss.
Oh, well, ain't that funny. You see, he puts a tooth in, he shoots. There was already a bullet in the chamber. There's a huge explosion.
Oh, you did it right here. Okay.
Why don't you guys get going? I think I'm going to get in trouble with these guards here.
Yeah. We'll see you later, old cop. All right. We'll give you a call.
See you later, old cop. Thanks for the stone.
Before we go.
Definitely abuse it.
I also give him a business card for my my podiatrist. Or no.
Okay.
Not my podiatrist, my pedicurist. So that if he wants to get his feet done all fancy.
Oh, thank you. I might get myself a golden foot.
You'll never feel better. Honestly, every step is a blessing.
Sending stones and golden feet. Oh, Cobb.
Let me tell you, these boots, I walk on a penny. I tell you what year it is. That's some old Cobb humor for you there.
I laugh and then puke up a little blood.
Yeah, we got to get this kid to
you better
clear.
Get that kid out of here.
Yeah, it's a bit of a situation.
So you guys walk over to, like, this little dock. You enter the hot air balloon. The basket door closes. The pilot ignites the burner, and you're off. Suddenly, you have a view of the ocean, and you're level with a lot of the airships, and you see thousands of people entering and leaving the city on the bridge, now as tiny as ants. The balloon settles on a dock roughly three-quarters of the way up the mountain. This is Upper Galateron, the rich part of town where the Togolds live. The only area of the city higher than this neighborhood is the church district, full of a few grand cathedrals dedicated to each of the major paladin/cleric factions, and smaller churches is dedicated to other deities. Then, of course, there is the King's Castle, which sits higher than everything else in Galateron. So you guys exit the dock and enter this well-to-do neighborhood. It's the fantasy equivalent of the Hollywood Hills. Just beautiful mansions built into the side of the mountain, some of them with big dome observatories so they can look out into the stars at night. And there is, of course, a path that winds around the mountain and allows you to get from house to house. So, Beverly, you know how to get to your house.
Right. I do not go to my house. I guess there's the church district,
mm-hmm.
but would there be like a clinic or a hospital nearby?
So your situation is bad enough that you need High Priest High Hill to help you,
okay.
And you're not going to be able to get him without your dad finding out.
Okay, so I can either be crippled for life or tell my dad.
Precisely.
Those are the options. All right, I take a big breath and say, guys, I think we need to call my dad.
Wow. Are you sure you don't want me to chop off your legs?
It's nice to have that in our back pocket as kind of a backup plan, but I'd like to use my legs again maybe. So I direct them towards my house.
You're in my like hanging off my chest, right?
Right.
So I like to imagine you're just pointing and I follow whatever you point.
You're using Beverly Maps right now. yeah, so I guide the way.
Great. So Beverly guides Hard One, who guides Moonshine and Pawpaw.
Moonshine is peeking in every window she can.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's pretty private. There are like hedges and stuff blocking some of the houses and arcane barriers.
Uh-huh.
So as you go to like
Moonshine
stick your face
really
in.
Moonshine doesn't really understand privacy, so she assumed like she's not doing it to be sneaky. She's assuming that.
Yeah, you see one gnome reading a book on his couch, just makes eye contact with you and like closes the blinds.
I shoot him a thumbs up, but kind of mess up a little bit.
He closes the blinds on you.
How many pies does Moonshine steal off windowsills?
Oh, these people don't cool their own pies.
Oh, that's true. They have chefs.
So you guys get to Beverly's house.
Papa makes a muck in a couple lawns.
Are you just trying to get like killed by the Galeron guards before you get to Beverly's house?
Dog, we are always.
Describe Beverly's house to us.
You got it. So you guys get to Beverly's house. While a normal hobbit hole is built into a hill. This is built into the actual mountain. It's got the big rounded hobbit door built right into the rock face, and you can see windows spread out across three floors. This hobbit hole is more like a hobbit mansion. You're at your door. You also see on the third floor is where Beverly's room is. You see that he has a little private balcony with a telescope on it.
Sweet little boy.
That's so cool. I do the special knock.
Beverly knocks on the door, and you hear from the inside,
Martha, Beverly, son, would you open the door?
That's my mom. Wait. Hold on, is that my
Martha,
mom?
Martha, open the... All right, I'll get it.
Beverly Togold the Fourth opens the door. This short halfling man in casual noble's clothes, so he's just wearing like a nice silk green shirt and brown slacks. And he looks like Beverly, but with a salt and pepper mustache and black hair.
Oh, shit.
And he looks at you guys.
Daddy, I messed up. Daddy, I messed up real bad.
What the?
He looks at your legs.
Oh, what the? Beverly, I swear to Pete, what'd you do to your legs, Bev?
I fell, Dad, I fell.
Martha, come out and see what Beverly did to his legs.
You see, his mom comes down and she's this little halfway woman with big, bushy, curly brown hair. And she goes, oh my God, Bev, oh my God, oh my God. I'm gonna go get you a sticky bun, honey. And she runs into the house.
I need a sticky bun, I need a doctor, I need Merrick, Mama, I need Dr. Merrick.
You guys should be equal parts proud and ashamed of your son. He did some heroic things and some very, very stupid things.
Hey, were you driving the carriage when this happened?
Now, look,
I paid a lot of money for that carriage, sir, okay? I don't appreciate you crashing and breaking my boy's little legs.
Daddy, no. This is
He's got little legs!
He's got very, very strong legs. You gotta give your son a little more credit. This was not a carriage accident, okay?
Yeah, I am not tipping for this, okay? I am not tipping.
You think I'm a driver? You think I'm a hired gun?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm about to just unstrap Bev from my back, let him fall into a sack on the floor.
Oh, Bev, what the heck happened?
I'm so sorry, Daddy. I was at the top of a really tall tower, and I tried to do a little joke. You know how I like to do little jokes? I did the stand-up before, and I got my patch.
Beverly, you goofed?
I goofed, Papa.
You goofed, and you got yourself hurt.
I goofed, and I got myself hurt.
What did I tell you about goofing?
Goofing only leads.
Remember, what did I tell you about goofing?
If you do a goof, you end up a ghost. That's what you always say,
Papa.
That's
right. That's right. You remember what happened to your Uncle Ronald, right?
I remember Ronnie.
He was goofing around in a hot air balloon and he fell off.
He fell right off.
Sorry about your Uncle Ronnie. Yeah. That's not entirely how this happened. You should be proud of your boy.
We did some good things too, Papa.
You know what, Beverly? I was going to give you a new sword for your graduation, but now you get nothing. You're going straight to your room, Beverly.
Wait, no, Dad.
You're going straight to your room.
My legs are really messed up.
All right. I'm going to get, you know what? High Priest High Hill is a busy man, but I'm going to get him on the line.
Okay.
All right, look, I'm not tipping you, but I'll give you 5 gold.
Sounds like a tip to me.
Dad, these are my new scout masters.
I'll take the 5 gold.
I gave him a bunch of alcohol. Yeah.
Scout master
Danny deputized them. Don't worry, they're okay.
Danny's a numbnut. All right.
I couldn't agree more. Hi, Moonshine Simon.
How you doing? Beverly Togold the Fourth, you killed my son.
Well, arguably, I saved him quite a few times.
Yeah, you should have. If you think his legs look bad now, you should have seen
him. Daddy, she healed me after I fell. I wouldn't be alive without her.
When you say healed, your legs are still jello.
It's true.
Yeah,
but
just
they're not leaking as much.
Turn your legs into little sacks for your broken bones.
Well, for peace sake, Bev. All right. Well, thank you, I guess, for bringing him back in one piece, even though his legs are skin bags.
They are one piece, though.
You broke your walking sticks, Beverly.
I can't look at them. Just don't make me look at them.
What the heck are you doing? All right, you know what? Everybody inside. Everybody goes up to Beverly's room. Okay? Everybody's grounded. All three. One, two, three. He points to all three.
Can we bring Papa inside?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I'm a green knight. He takes a deep breath. I love all the animals, even the weird ones. Bringing your dang possum, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Sweet. Papa. Cool. So you guys open the door to go into the living room. It's large but cozy. There's a fire going in the fireplace. A Broomba is sweeping the floor. And you can smell Bev's mom's famous sticky buns cooking in the kitchen. There's a beautiful oak dining table as well as antique furniture and some cozy sitting chairs near the fire. As you guys walk in, there's all this yelling for Bev's dad and everything, and Bev's mom just walks in and goes, "Oh, honey, you should have a sticky bun." Yeah, and she gives you guys all sticky buns.
Do you have any mellow cream to go with these?
Oh, of course, of course.
Thank you, Mama.
Martha said he's going up to his room. He's not getting any sticky buns.
Hardwon, you want my sticky bun? It's far too sweet.
I already ate mine and I got yours.
Yeah. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile. It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore, and you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
So you hear, as you guys carry Beverly up the stairs, you hear downstairs,
"Oh yeah, High Priest Ihill, I am so sorry, my boy was goofing around with his friends, he broke his dang 2 walking sticks, I need you to come by, I know you're busy, I swear to pee, I know it, but you come out here and, you'll be doing the toll gold to solid. I appreciate it, my friend."
So you guys,
we're up in the room.
You guys get up to Bev's room. He's got a beautiful artist's rendering of the 3 legendary heroes with Theala standing in front. Various green teen badges all over the wall and knickknacks, science kits, and weird nerd kid shit like crystallized bugs. And then he's also got this tiny private balcony with a telescope.
I can't believe I agreed.
Crystallized bugs? I take one in my hand and I attempt to free it.
No, it was dead before I crystallized it. Don't worry, it was humane. Okay. It's a part of my Green Knight training. I got to study it.
They were like trapped in amber.
Yeah, okay.
they're long dead.
I back down.
I like that I've agreed to play this game where Mirth just razzes me for my life decisions. He just combines all of our dads into one mega dad. All right, so I guess I'm probably on the bed now.
So you guys are in this room. Bev is on the bed.
I do have Pelor bed sheets. They're adorned with like a sun emblem. I would say.
I'll meander out to the patio and start looking in people's windows with that telescope.
That's
again, innocently, Moonshine has no understanding of
why
privacy.
Why would they have these big dome windows if they didn't want people to look at them?
Yeah, they got all these big, letting all the sun and all the peepers in.
I'm appalled because that's what I do, but I don't tell anyone that that's what I do with it.
Are you using the telescope to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You look into the house next door.
I'm just whistling a tune.
Which is another halfling hobbit hole mansion. And there's a window, and you look into it, and you see an older gentleman who looks a lot like Scoutmaster Denny. He's just sipping some cocoa, and he just makes direct eye contact with you, and he holds up his mug like to say hello.
Oh, Melora. You live next door to Scoutmaster Denny?
I mentioned that. Yeah, we're all family friends. Our dads know each other.
Oh, Melora.
His dad's name is Duncan Pebblepot. They're the Pebblepots.
The Pebblepots?
The Pebblepots.
Oh.
Denny Pebblepot.
Notoriously Craven.
Yeah, I don't need so much Craven... Cravenness in my view. Yeah, I put the telescope away.
They've done a lot of deals together. I guess, yeah, make yourselves at home.
What's the ceiling situation like for me?
Since this is a mansion, they have really high ceilings for halflings. So Moonshine has like an inch or two over the top of her head. She can walk kind of safely. If she's going into a doorway, she'll probably bang her head.
Okay.
But hard one, you definitely have to crane your neck to get anywhere.
So when Bev says, make yourselves comfortable, I just sort of look at him.
I gesture,
like, this will never happen.
I gesture towards a beanbag in the corner.
I plop down on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you guys want, there might be some drinks in the mini fridge if you want
Hard one
something.
Starts rifling through the mini fridge.
So you guys are up in Bev's room for a little bit, and after a little while, Bev's dad comes up, and he goes, all right, kiddo, we got to have a little talk here, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so you know we don't got a lot of family anymore, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, when I was growing up, I had 6 siblings, and now I got none. So I need you to stick around, kiddo, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right? We had 3 Togolds that died in the war against the Giants.
Yes, sir.
We had 2 Togolds that died in the war against Osmodius. And then we had your Uncle Ronald, who fell off a dang balloon, okay? And he was goofing around, okay?
He was doing a goof. He tried to do a backflip.
He tried to do a backflip, and what happened to him, Beverly?
He flipped right out of the dang balloon, sir.
He flipped right out of the dang balloon, okay? So I'm satisfied that you are okay, Beverly.
Yes, sir.
And I am... It is... good that you are home, okay?
You're going to length not
I'm
to
glad
say
you're
happy.
Not dead.
Okay,
I'm,
there you go.
I'm glad you're not dead,
let
okay?
Wow, really?
So after a little bit, Beverly's dad goes downstairs and you hear him welcoming Merrick Highhill. And Merrick Highhill makes his way up the stairs. He's this older halfling man with gray hair and a kind face. He wears a dark green robe and a little hat. Always little hats. And a little hat made of leaves that looks kind of like the red hats a cardinal would wear. He's accompanied by several paladins in full plate armor representing different factions of the city's holy knights.
Are they halflings? Paladins?
No, they're all different races. Mostly human, and then there is an elf. Let me
what
tell
is
you
Merrick? Is he a...
Merrick is a halfling.
Is a halfling.
Yes. So there's an Oath of Devotion Paladin, a.k.a. a White Knight, an Oath of Ancients Paladin, a.k.a. a Green Knight like the Togolds, and 2 members of the Chosen. You guys had heard about these on the road to Galadron, and Beverly knew about them. They're the kind of non-denominational paladins who just worship the light.
And that's who the widow has been targeting.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's who my dad calls knuckleheads.
And your dad calls them knuckleheads. And one of the chosen guys is Glad Roselle, this tall, blonde-haired elf, super tanned, with bright green eyes and a giant broadsword across his back. He wears full plate armor and a white tabard with a gold sword on it, the symbol of the chosen.
Sir Roselle, what are you doing here?
Well, I was with Merrick Highhill, and I heard that someone was in trouble, so I thought I would come by and say hi. But don't let me take all the attention, please. The High Priest is here.
And the High Priest walks over and he says,
Beverly, it's been such a long time since I've seen you. Oh, my goodness. What kind of trouble? Oh, he walks over, he pulls the blanket off, and he sees your legs. Oh, Beverly, what have you done to your legs?
I goofed a god.
You goofed a god. Oh, my. You know what? You don't goof a god, okay?
I was just trying to follow...
D-gag, Beverly, D-gag. You don't goof a god.
I was trying to follow Pelor's teachings and bring light and joy and laughter to the world, and I went a little too far, and...
The joke fell flat.
The joke fell, yeah,
and
very flat.
Beverly also fell flat.
My bones.
He bombed at probably the worst possible time. He literally bombed out of a tower.
Goof is also a real stretch. He basically tried to poison the god.
Oh, my goodness. Okay,
yeah, he tried to commit some sort of, what would you call it if you kill a god?
Deicide.
Deicide. He tried to commit deicide.
I say that
truthfully.
And then cough up more blood.
My goodness. Okay, Beverly. You know what? Why don't we relax?
Okay.
We'll start the ritual, the greater restoration to bring your legs back. He leans into Beverly. Why don't you sing a song? Why don't you sing a little green teen tune? He sets your leg.
Pelor is here to make us feel... Oh, God!
Yeah, he goes through the ritual.
That was just one leg too, right?
Uh-huh. Repairing Beverly's legs. It's like a 10-15 minute ritual of him hovering his hands, his eyes glowing green, his hands going green, hovering over each individual part of Beverly's legs. You see the bones reconnecting and his leg taking form again.
Moonshine watches with ultimate fascination. She's not even disgusted. She's into it.
Yeah. One reaches for Beverly's other sticky bun.
The one that I'm
the
trying to put
in
my mouth.
Your mom just brought back with your cream on it.
I look at Hardwon and I'm like, are you worried about that core? I heard a lot about that core. Sticky buns keep the core away.
You see,
Glad's gonna get a little fat.
Glad Roselle.
All the sliders.
Glad Roselle leans into Hardwon. Careful with the sticky buns, buddy.
I eat the entire thing in one bite. I've locked on that motherfucker.
Merrick Highhill finishes his ritual. He looks extremely tired and drained after it. He's sort of this jolly, he does kind of have the manner of a pediatrician, like goofing around and stuff. But he is very tired and very drained after repairing your legs. But your legs do feel better.
I wiggle my toes a little bit.
You wiggle your toes. You feel your toes. You feel good. You feel exhausted. You have one level of exhaustion right now, so you would get mechanically you'd get disadvantages on skill checks and stuff.
Okay,
but you'll be okay after a long rest.
All right, cool.
I go over to Merrick. I say, "Are you? Do you have a moment?"
Yeah. What?
So my little rodent companion, he's got all these soft spots, and I was just take him, to be in his nature. But since I got a professional here, perhaps I could run his soft spots by you.
Mm. Yeah, I could take a little look at that. Okay.
Yeah. So you see, he picks up Pawpaw, and he's a nature domain cleric, so he likes little critters and stuff. So Pawpaw immediately kind of takes a liking to him and just allows him to do whatever he wants. This dude just starts pressing into Pawpaw's soft spots in his head. He's just making sounds, and his eyes are bugging out, and his tongue keeps rolling out and everything. And he hands him...
What are those stress squeezy...
your guys.
And he hands him back to Moonshine, and he goes,
seems actually quite healthy. Has he been eating health potions or?
Oh yeah, he lapped up some. Well, honestly, he lapped up a lot of dirt with those health potions, so I thought maybe they'd cancel each other out. But okay, good. So the soft spots are okay.
Soft spots are fine. He laughs and says, "You're a good mother."
No, actually, I'm not a mother. I'm going out of my way not to be a mother. Very fertile. It would be easy.
You see, he looks
extremely... It's hard not to get pregnant, honestly.
He looks extremely confused. And Beverly's dad puts his arm around Merrick Highhill and goes, "All right, let's get you back. Let's get you back to the church district. I'll walk him home. Why don't we let Beverly get a little rest?"
Wait. I grab his his robes before he goes.
Okay.
Moonshine, what about the Krikrot?
Oh, Melora, how did it escape me?
You're so caught up.
Oh, Melora, forgive me for my absent mind. One more thing. I just tug on his robe like a child.
We all
tug
on
his robe. My entire people is being poisoned.
Yes. I'm so sorry.
You
these
don't all
chefs.
Have to tug on my robe. It's quite all right. You can just speak to me. We're all in a small room.
As I'm speaking to him, I'm playing with his robe in my finger.
I am a holy man. Please don't flirt with me.
This is normal. This is all very normal for her.
I'm a crick elf. I don't know if it's obvious or
it's
not. I don't know how much
obvious.
I wear it on my sleeve or my pant leg. What is Krikrot? What are you doing to heal my people?
Well, I'm doing the best that I can. I'm doing pretty much exactly what I did with young Beverly here. I'm casting greater restoration spells to cure them of the curse, but it's not quite going away.
Okay.
It is an extreme demonic influence.
Okay, so you know that's demonic. And what do you think is happening? You got any theories? It's also fine if you don't.
He thinks about it for a little bit.
Something ain't right. I think something ain't right at the Crick.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Merrick.
Thank you, Dr. Merrick.
I'm a high priest.
Thank you, High Priest Merrick.
Thank you. So you see Bev's dad puts his arm around him. All right, I think it's time to get him back. I'll walk him back. And you see Galad says,
do you mind if I stick around so I can speak to young Beverly?
Me?
Beverly the Fourth gives kind of a weird look. And then he looks over to Hard One and Moonshine and goes, just keep an eye on him. He's kind of a wacko.
You got it.
All right, yeah. All right, if you want to talk to the kid, yeah, go ahead. Go nuts. So Beverly's dad and Merrick Highhill and the other paladins exit, and you guys are left there with Galad. So Galad bends down and says,
are you all right, young Togold?
After Dr. Merrick's healing words, I'm feeling much better. Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, as a Togold, you're the future of the Green Knights, and someday, maybe you'll even make captain like your dad. And in that case, we're going to have to work together. And we are all brothers and sisters of the light, regardless of our specific denomination. So as an act of goodwill, I brought you this.
And he pulls out a beautiful masterwork longsword with elvish script across the blade. And he hands it to you.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know about this.
I know elvish, so I read the inscription.
It says, stay cool, Galad Roselle. It's literally an autographed sword.
Oh my gosh, this is an autographed original. Oh wow, yes, there's not...
You could get quite a bit of gold for that. I am the greatest
swordsman. Oh, that must say something beautiful till he finds out. And he's like, oh.
It does, it says, stay cool.
And then you signed it.
And then I signed it.
He signed it in elvish.
Yeah.
That's really hard to write.
That's me. The White Rose of Galadron.
Is he an elf?
Yes.
Okay.
He's right. A high elf.
Ooh.
Hi, I'm a crick elf.
Hi.
Hello, my sister. And he gives you a hug.
Okay, I was about to question you, but have I ever met a high elf who has so thoroughly embraced a crick?
We are brothers and sisters in the light.
I reciprocate the hug and just hold on until he breaks free.
He doesn't break free. You guys okay, are just then we're sharing just, a tender hug.
Y'all are just playing hug chicken
for so long.
Sir,
he's
sir
still
Roselle?
Hugging me.
Yes,
sir,
yeah, he's still hugging Moonshine. He looks over his shoulder. Yes, young Beverly.
As a fellow paladin, I must confess to you, I've been having dark moments where I doubt the sincerity and the light of Pelor. What can I do? What path should I pursue?
You know, young Beverly, the light flows through all of us. It doesn't matter what god you worship. We are all united under the light. Even you, and he turns to Hard One, eater of sticky buns. You are
not the only
my
thing I do.
Brother of yeah. the light.
Nah, that's what we call him too.
You
that's
don't call me sticky bun.
I'm going to start calling you sticky bun.
No, please do not.
Sir Roselle, are you hosting youth group this week?
I'm not. I'm going to be quite busy. Oh. What with Merrick Highhill becoming the new High Septon in just a few days.
Darn. Well, I hope we can have a jam session. I just picked up this flute, and I would love to sing some of the hymns of the light with you sometime.
You know what? I would love that, Beverly.
Hard
I
One
would
feels
love
his
that.
Woodblock in his pocket. And feels a little hurt.
Suddenly, you guys hear a voice from outside on Beverly's balcony. Finally, it looks like I'll be able to outnumber you, Roselle. You guys turn and look.
Your telescope's talking.
And you see the widow. You guys see the widow standing on the railing of Bev's balcony. She's wearing a long black cloak with the hood pulled over her face. But you see her hands and her chin are pale white. Galad turns to her. The widow, Oathbreaker. And she says, what do you say we step outside so we don't have to harm this nice little halfling family?
I try to get out of bed and fall down immediately.
Yeah, Beverly, you're super exhausted. You can walk, but you feel a little bit wobbly.
Yep.
And Glad holds you back and he says, this is just between us, widow. And the widow laughs, she cackles, and she disappears and Misty steps. Your family could be in danger. We need to get downstairs now. And he rushes out of the room.
Okay.
Y'all, can we just out of character for a second say, what if Theala is the widow?
Ooh.
Is
oh,
anyone
shit.
Else thinking that? Because he called her the Oathbreaker, and we just found out that Theala was on her way to Galadron and that she broke some kind of oath.
It seems extremely possible.
Damn.
Was all anyone right. else thinking that?
No, but I'm not no. smart.
Yeah. I've proven it time and time again. Not smart.
Okay.
And
okay.
I don't, like, I just don't like Galad. But I don't, he might be a good guy, but he's just a douche.
I was ready to be like, fuck this guy, because I was like, what are you doing handing out weapons? And he like seemed into himself, but then he was a high elf that embraced a crick elf, so Moonshine is just like...
Maybe he's, he really might just be a wacko as...
He could be a good egg.
He calls him a knucklehead.
Oh, yeah, knucklehead. I feel like he might just be a knucklehead, so not like an evil dude.
Yeah, the Chosen probably have some bad eggs in their rank. I think Galad could be a good egg, potentially.
Okay, so what just... Galad, I got really distracted by that and excited
about
that.
So the widow Misty stepped out of the balcony.
And we don't know where.
You don't know where, but Galad said that your family might be in danger because your mom's downstairs, Beverly.
Mommy!
So, Galad took off down the stairs.
All right, so I'm just like, the stinky buns! Straight through the door.
Is everybody going out?
Yeah.
I
summon all my strength.
Beverly can walk. He's got one level of exhaustion, so he's for all intents and purposes, fine.
Would I have had a chance to inspect this sword? Like, maybe just get like a
oh, yes. It is a plus one sword.
Ooh.
So you get plus one to your attacks and plus one to your damage.
Nice.
Your attack bonus and your damage goes up.
Hell yeah.
So you guys rush down the stairs. You get into the living room. Bev's mom has no idea that anything's wrong. She's like... Oh, good lad! Don't leave without any sticky buns. No, you gotta have it. You gotta eat. You gotta eat. She tries to give Glad sticky buns, and he says, "I'm sorry. I know it's rude to refuse sticky buns, but I must be going."
I grab one. You guys can call me Hard Bun from now on.
So you guys open the door, and you see the widow standing on the ledge over like a cliff, and you see in front of her there are 8 chosen paladins who have been zombified. They have the white tabards, but they're all ripped. They've got big holes in them. Their faces are caked with blood, and their eyes are milky white. The widow holds her hand up as if keeping them at bay, and Galad says, "Ah, brothers and sisters of the light, how could you do this? Rosaline, strike true." You see, he's talking to his sword. He pulls out his big sword named Rosaline. "I shall free my people from your demonic presence, widow." And she says, "This is between us. Get those other 3 out of here." What do you guys do?
I'm not going anywhere.
I think, I draw my sword.
All right, everybody roll initiative.
Woo!
18.
18.
I also got 18, but that's 20.
Ooh. Wow.
I got 14. And I'm fine with that.
You guys all rolled really well.
Nice.
Woo!
So good for you. So Moonshine, you're first.
Okay. So, I'm going to take out my sending stone.
So, you're going to call old Cob?
Yeah.
That's fucking smart.
Oh, good.
Damn, I totally forgot that we had to do that.
I should have done it before.
It's going to take a full
out,
action
but...
for you because it.
Yes,
cause this
but
is all
I still get a
seconds.
Bonus action, right?
Yeah, you could call old Cob and do a bonus action, sure.
Yeah, so then I'm going to call old Cob shillelagh. So, I'll light my staff.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to spores the girl.
The widow? The widow's further back than everyone else. Like, she's got, like, the 8 guys in front of her, and she's kind of in the back commanding
them. I'm just
going
to spore one of her freaking henchmen.
You actually cannot do poison damage to a zombie.
Can we at least hear what old Cobb's voicemail
sounds
like?
Oh, so you're
like?
Going to talk to... You didn't get his voicemail.
This is old Cobb. Oh, he's on the horn.
Oh, old Cobb in person. Old Cobb. We're standing in front of, it's just so weird to be talking on the phone in the middle of a battle, but we are standing in front of the Black Widow.
Tell old Cobb where you're at.
We're at the corner of Goldston and Wiveldine.
All right, I'll ask around some of the fancy folks. Old Cobb out.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I could also maybe send Pawpaw. No, no, no. No, no. Just ask the fancy folks.
All right. Old Cobb out for real this time.
And make sure, funny. Old Cobb, make sure you got bullets in that blunderbuss. Nothing silly.
No more teeth. Old Cobb out for real this time.
Old Cobb, makes me old laugh. Cobb hangs up. That is you, Hard One.
He's got the crick.
Dope.
Crick cut up is what we call him.
I'm going to sort of shoulder Galad aside. Watch this.
Going after one of the zombies?
Going after one of the zombies.
Cool.
And that is a 20. Not a nat, though.
20 to hit? That hits.
Yeah.
They are wearing plate mail, so they're a little harder to hit than a lot of the guys you guys have been fighting, but a 20 certainly hits.
Okay. Oh, and I reroll the 2. Thank you, Nathan. that is a 12.
12 damage. Cool. You slash right into him. One of the guy's arms rips off. You cut his arm right off, and he looks fine. He just goes...
Well, let's see if I can chop off the other arm because I do get a second attack.
You got a
now,
second
right?
attack. You're level 5, baby.
Do I roll a 20 again for the second attack? I
yes.
Do, yeah. Of course. Of course. And of I was course. Kidding. Everybody at home, that was a fucking joke. And that is
we
a 19.
We do jokes on the show.
19 hits.
Yes.
Good for you.
Ooh, boy.
Good for you rolling good.
And that is a 17. The damage.
17 damage. Jeez, this guy is on death's door.
I look back and I wink at fucking Galad.
You slash his head off and his head is hanging by a thread, but he's still standing and dragging his broadsword.
There is no pleasure in this. These were once my friends.
Not mine.
And then you see Galad charges forward at one of the zombie paladins and goes,
Rosaline, strike true.
You already said that, man.
Rosaline, free these people from their prison. Go, Rosaline.
Beverly loves it.
Shoot a look at Bev.
And he hits on the first one. Oh, boy. He does 18 damage on the first swing.
Nice.
He takes a second swing, and he hits... And he does another 17 damage. You see, he fully decapitates this one and swings his sword around and goes, thank you, Rosaline. You have freed them to the light.
Not bad. Not bad, man.
And then he takes a third swing at another one next to him.
Yo, are you watching this, Hard One?
And he hits.
Watching what?
He hits for another 18.
Fuck.
That is the widow. That's you the see, sound. The widow is going to rush up and take a slash at Galad. And she misses on her first swing, but she takes a second swing. And she hits for 15 regular damage. And she does like a necrotic smite.
Oh, shit.
For another 14 damage. So she slashes into Galad, and you see this explosion of black energy as, like, disease, like, festers on his neck, and he goes, ah, stay away from me, heretic! and then it is Bev's turn.
Galad, does
it,
no!
Does it look like crick rot, the disease that festers on him?
He's not, like, actually disease. It's just, like, really quickly, as he was slashed, it was, like, this disgusting, festering disease.
Okay. Since these are undead... I think I'm going to cast Shield of Faith right off the bat, and I'm going to cast it on Galad.
Oh, dope. Galad is super armored now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cast off this darkness, Galad. You and Rosaline must fight another day.
I like to think as Bev is like preparing this spell, I think that it's coming to me, and I step up proudly. Thanks, Bev. Oh, all right, good. Yeah, no, he could use it.
Thank you, Beverly. It is an honor to be your hero.
Give Rosaline a kiss for me. I wink.
He kisses Rosaline.
And then I'm going to Divine Smite the nearest.
Cool. There's one that's really hurt that Galad got with his second attack, or there's just a full health one.
Let me do the full health one.
Okay. All right, cool. So do a regular attack and then see if you hit, because it's actually kind of hard to hit these guys. Galad's just really strong.
That's 11 plus... 8 with my longsword.
That hits.
Great.
You actually do 3d8s against undead. That's what it is. So you're going to roll 4d8s for damage here and then add your damage at the end.
That's an 8 again.
Bev's turning a new leaf.
Ooh. Yeah.
Since he met Galad. Hard One doesn't have a thing to do with
Bev
it.
Bev is Galadined.
What did you get total?
I have an 8 and a 2 and and a 7, plus another 8.
Holy
wow.
Shit.
Wow.
Plus the 7 attack damage, right?
Wow. You do the perfect amount of damage. Mm-hmm. You do exactly what Hard One did. You slash its head off. Its head is hanging off by just a flap of skin, but it stays standing as it goes back up to 1 HP.
Oh, so it doesn't die.
It does not die.
But
you get a second attack.
I charge up my sword with my amulet, and I stab down.
Perfect. Take a swing.
That's 12 plus... That's not nat 20.
Oh, perfect. That hits.
Great.
Oh, I mean, he's at 1 HP. He's not going to be able to recover from the amount of damage that you do here, so finish him.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think I...
Strike true, young Beverly.
Yeah, I look to
Yeah, strike true, Bev.
I look to Galad, I give him a thumbs up, and it's also, like Moonshine, not a very good thumbs up. my sword fills with light, and I say, Rosaline 2, strike true!
You strike true with your blade, cutting into the zombie's chest, and it explodes in a flash of white light. That is the zombies. Weird thing, none of them attack you guys. They all go after Galad.
Oh, no.
Okay. So Galad gets surrounded by all these zombies.
Oh, because they've probably all been commanded.
They're attacking the light. That's like what Galad represents.
But
right?
I think that they've been. I think she raised these dead and then told them kill Galad because she's trying to assassinate him.
Maybe because he's a bad guy. We still don't know.
True. Let's just operate like he's he's good and she's bad.
Yeah.
So there are.
But
there
I don't trust the motherfucker.
are six guys left. Two guys hit Galad for a total of only 16 damage. But they do, you notice they have a like spores type ability.
Whoa.
They're like letting out like a wretch, like foul breath that is doing poison damage to Galad. So he
can't help but kind of study it and be like,
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so he takes an additional like 23 damage from that.
How goopy are they?
Oh, they're super goopy.
Oh, man.
Especially the guys. There's one guy whose head is still hanging off. He's at 1 HP.
Guys, it's okay. My mom can do laundry after this.
So that is back up to you, Moonshine.
Y'all, I'm just going to do a tidal wave.
Surf's up.
Okay.
Moonshine summons a tidal wave of Crick Water, exclusively of Crick Water.
Okay.
So remember, it's like a little alcoholic
and
it's somewhat flammable.
Appreciate that.
This is going to hit Galad. Are you cool with that? Because all of the zombies are surrounding Galad.
Motherfucker, what do I do here?
Hit him. We can cure him afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you want him dead.
Yeah, of course I do.
Do what you need to do, Moonshine.
Moonshine has already summoned a tidal wave of Crick Water, and she's hesitating about
whether
or not she should use
it. Wait, what's going on?
What's
that?
You said do what she needs to do.
All right.
Oh, man.
Wait, no.
And
Galad is also
the tidal wave.
It's cool. Galad saves. Galad saves. Three of them save, three of them don't save, and the Widow saves.
I like to think Galad is also a teetotaler, so this is going to be bad for him if he gets any in his mouth.
23 for anyone who didn't save.
So you fully kill two of the zombies, and the Widow, Galad, and the other zombies take a little bit of damage.
Hell yeah.
And you see, as the Widow takes the hit, she goes, this isn't your fight. Get out of here.
Whatever, Theala.
Did we see her eyes a little bit?
She's wearing a mask, or she has a hood, right?
She does have a hood. Roll a perception check.
I got 17.
17?
Oh.
She has no reaction.
Damn, she must have rolled well.
So that is you, Hard One.
All right, I'm going to swing at one of the healthier, whatever the healthiest zombie is.
Cool.
That is a 22.
That hits.
And that is a 11.
Dope.
And then I'm going to
slash right into this guy.
I guess I'm going to take my second attack at that same guy.
Okay.
Oh, damn. But that was a nat 2.
Ha! You swing and you miss. The first one to miss this whole fight.
Oh,
Galad says,
no.
It's okay, Hard Bun. You'll get them next time.
Don't call me Hard Bun.
Okay, Sticky Bun. You'll be fine.
That's worse.
Perhaps you need to name your axe. Rosaline always strikes true.
Hard One silently starts pondering a name for his axe.
Galad takes a shot at the guy that you just missed. And he misses as well.
All right. It's okay, Galad.
Wow, I'm filled with doubt.
Don't worry. I'll get him with the second swing. And he does.
Oh. I got him with my first.
So he gets
We're all trying our best.
17 damage. So this dude is super fucked up. And then he takes his third swing. And he rolls a nat 1. Glad really goofs on that last one.
He inhaled too much crick water.
Sorry, I was trying to impress people. I shouldn't do that.
Wow.
Oh, crick humility in a high elf. Never have I ever.
And you see the widow looks at you guys, and she goes, I don't want to have to kill you. And she misty steps out of there. And the widow's gone.
What?
Can we track her?
She's gone.
Shit.
What, can I misty step chase her?
Maybe. We'll see on your turn. The widow disappears. And that is your turn, Bev.
Okay. How many zombies are remaining?
There are 4.
And are they still acting despite
They
widow?
Are still acting. Okay. Now that the widow is gone, it seems like they're kind of now just mindless zombies, so they will probably attack you if they get on you.
Okay. Then I'll just hack and slash.
Cool.
Then. Cool. Yeah, let's just go after some zombies.
There's one guy who's like a little hurt, 2 guys that are healthy, and 1 guy that's very hurt.
I'll slash at the guy that's a little hurt right now.
Okay, cool.
That's a 19 plus my bonus, which is going to be 27, I guess. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that super hits.
Great. That's 5 plus 8. So, yeah, 13.
He is very hurt, but still alive.
Okay, I'll attack again then.
Cool.
That's going to be 17.
17 does not hit.
Oh, no.
You bang off his plate mail as he kind of shifts in a drunken stumble. Mm-hmm. A drunken zombie stumble.
Yeah, and I say, it's okay because Galad misses sometimes too.
That's right, we all miss. Even Rosaline.
Wow.
Now it's the zombies' turn. The zombies now are going to divide their attention now that they're being attacked by you guys. So 2 of the zombies are going to stay on Galad, and 2 of them are going to turn to Beverly because he's swinging on them. So the first zombie takes a swing with his great sword. That's an 11 to hit. That does not hit. Then he's going to try to bite you. And that's a 19 to hit.
My AC is 19, so
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so that hits. That is...
Does that turn Bev into a zombie? Is that how it works in D&D?
It's not Resident Evil rules. That's 4 damage, but then he, as he bites into you, he spits out this green mist that does another 6 damage to you.
Ah, my favorite color!
Doing 6 damage?
Then another guy takes a swing on you, Bev. And he misses with his great sword. He tries to bite you, and he's going to successfully bite you.
Damn, I'd rather get hit with the sword.
7 damage, and then another 6 damage. Okay. As he bites into you, he spits the green mist at you.
So 23 altogether?
Yeah.
Great.
And then the other 2 guys are going to take their swings at Glad. This one guy hits him with the great sword for 7 damage, and then takes another goes in to bite him. Misses on the bite, but sprays the green mist at him for 6 damage. The other guy swings at him with the greatsword and misses, tries to bite him and successfully bites him for 4 damage, and then does the green mist. That is you, Moonshine.
How fucked up is Galad right now?
Galad is looking a little fucked up, but he has a lot of HP.
Got it.
So Moonshine is going to quick take a thwack at one of these zombies who looks hurt.
Cool.
I run up, thwack him. Oh, that's definitely gonna hit, but I'll ask anyways. Is a 19 gonna hit?
It does, barely though.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, they were in armor.
Less cockiness.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Learn a little crit humility.
Excuse you, yeah.
You're right.
Excuse you very much.
And then that's gonna hit him for 8.
You slash into him, you cut him in half. But the top of his body is still moving. He goes back up to 1 HP.
And then, as my bonus action, I shout, Fiala, I just want to talk to you, girl! And then I try to follow her.
Great.
Give me a perception check to find her.
Ooh, that's going to be 24.
You find her on the rooftop of a nearby house about 30 feet away.
Is it freaking Denny's house?
It's not Denny's house. Okay. Denny's house is on the other side.
Because I love to fuck up that
house. You misty step over to her.
Yeah.
And you're on that roof with her right now.
And I say, girl, why are you going after this Glad guy? Truthfully, I'm trying to understand who to trust here.
He killed my husband.
And that is Hard One's turn.
Shit. I'm going to sort of hip check Glad out of my way a little bit and swing at the zombie.
There's room for all of us.
No, I'm pretty big, man. And that's a nat one.
You bump into Glad and kind of lose the grip on your axe.
I drop it.
You break your hip.
I got this. Oh shit. I'm going to take my second action, though.
Cool.
Pick up the axe, swing again. And that is only a fucking 17.
That does not hit.
All right, I'm action surging.
Do it up.
Yeah.
12.
On the action surge.
God damn.
You can attack again with action surge because it gives you another action, so you can do two attacks.
Oh, great. So I'm over three.
Oh, for three.
Here
go
comes
for, oh, for four, dude.
The final fucking attack. Watch this, baby. That's a 14.
Hard one. Oh, for four. Whiffs so hard in front of Galad.
At this point, you're just doing like a kickboxing workout.
Pride of the Dwarfage, Bastard of the Mountain, the Whiff Wizard.
Yeah.
Whiff Wizard, no.
So you see on Glad's turn, he turns to Beverly and Hard One, who are still there with him, and he says, "Can you handle these guys? I need to finish this now."
"We got it, Glad. You can count on us."
"Yeah."
"Thanks." You see he summons a griffin from the sky. A griffin comes down and picks him up, and Moonshine, he starts flying towards you guys, towards the widow and you.
Is that Razorlight himself?
The very same.
"Fly, Godspeed."
And that is the widow's turn. She looks at you, Moonshine, and she slits her own throat.
What?
And you see she just turns into like a fog cloud and is gone. And you see Glad flies in. He goes, "No! Where have you gone? Where have you gone?" And he flies the griffin around looking for her. He flies down like to the lower area of the mountain. And that is Beverly's turn.
Okay, we got to wrap this up. I'm just going to Divine Smite again.
You've got one guy who's the upper half of a torso still crawling around. You've got one guy who's pretty hurt, and then two full HP guys.
Let me do a full HP.
Cool.
Can't believe I have not killed the guy that's cut in half already.
That's a 12 plus 8.
That hits.
Great.
Wow, it's so easy to hit these guys.
Yeah, totally.
16 plus 2, that's 18 plus 7. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. You chop this dude down. Mm-hmm. He's another torso that starts crawling at you. He's at 0 HP, then he goes up to 1.
Okay.
He's just crawling at you. You guys got two half zombies like grabbing at your ankles trying to bite you.
That's all that's left?
No, and then two full guys.
I'll just do another Divine Smite on the one that's still standing. That's 19 plus 8.
You guys are hitting. You guys are rolling so well, except for Hard One, who went 0 for 4.
Beverly? Yeah, Beverly's fully over his conscience of faith.
Do your damage.
He's got his legs back now.
13 plus 7, so 20.
That hurts him quite a bit, but he is still standing.
Okay.
That is the zombies who are gonna go in on Bev.
Bring it!
So the two torso ones can only bite now, but he does hit with his bite for 4 damage, and then he's gonna do an extra 6 with the poison gas. The other torso guy tries to bite you and misses, but he's gonna do another 6 damage with the poison gas.
Okay.
The other two guys are still standing. They take a swing with their greatsword. 15 to hit does not hit. Tries to bite you, misses with a bite, but does the 6 damage retching on you. Last guy misses with his greatsword, hits with his bite for 4 damage, and then does another 6 damage.
That's okay, but it's not looking great.
Okay, that is you, Moonshine.
Okay, I guess I'm just gonna run back because I was only 30 feet away.
Okay,
right?
So you can run in.
I'm just gonna run back.
There's two half corpses that are still biting at people's ankles and two guys that are still standing.
All right, I'm gonna curb stomp one of those one of those biting.
Zombies. Roll like a shillelagh attack roll to stomp his head.
Oh, definitely gonna hit. 23.
Cool. He's at 1 HP.
Is that a flaming?
So just finish him with a stomp.
I lift up my dirty, gnarled feet and just start curb stomping the zombie.
Jesus. Yeah, his head explodes. cool. That is hard.
And when
one.
I get into it, and it kind of turns into a little bit of a hoedown dance.
Weird purple caked blood starts shooting.
Oh, this is fun. I feel like a kid in a puddle.
Just dry.
Like look at that and smile and be like, all right. I remember how to do this. And I crit, baby.
Yeah!
Oh, nice. Were you going for, there's a full health guy, a guy that's pretty hurt, and then a torso?
I was going to go for the full health guy.
Cool, go for it.
Would love if you took an easy swing.
Yeah, you just crit on a torso.
So that's 8 plus 12, that's 20.
Okay,
cool. And then plus 6, 26.
Cool. This dude looks real fucked up, but he's still standing.
And I get my second attack?
Go for your second attack.
Here we go. 19.
That hits.
15.
You chop his head off, hanging by a flap, goes back up to 1 HP.
Fucker.
I wish I could spores these guys. It'd be so easy to get rid of them.
That is Bev's turn.
I wanna jump and stab down on the torso first.
Cool.
To get the torso out of the way.
Yeah, take a swing. Take a swing with advantage, because he's prone. He's just laying there, wriggling around.
Oh. It's a 3 and a 2. Which should I choose?
Oh my goodness, you managed not to hurt him. You're just banging. He still has the top. He still has his breastplate on. Bev is so confident that he's just banging on. You're banging on a trash can, Doug style.
Yeah, just what you're doing. Streetlight with the flat of your sword. What'd you for think? Some reason.
Enjoy this music. It's the last thing you'll hear. I say to try and play it off. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break concentration on Glad.
Yeah.
And as a show of good faith, I will cast protection from evil and good on Hard One.
Thanks, kid.
Yes, you absolutely can.
Cool. Notice how he waited till after Glad left to do it.
Oh, Hard One noticed.
I don't know.
So there's still 3 zombies left. First guy crits on Beverly.
Oh. I should have healed myself during that.
17 damage on the sword.
Oh, fuck, I'm down.
Okay, Bev goes down.
God damn it. I reach for my potions and find none.
Bev goes down. He's going to go after a Hard One. That's going to be 17. That doesn't hit you. You got your new breastplate on.
He's disadvantaged as well.
Oh, protection.
Yep.
Yeah, he super misses. But then he does the 6 damage to you.
Cool.
And then the guy with his head hanging off... The headless zombie paladin takes a swing at Hard One with disadvantage and misses. It tries to bite Hard One with disadvantage and misses, but does 6 acid damage to you. Guy on the ground is going to try to bite you, and he's actually going to hit even with disadvantage, and that's another 4 damage and then another 6 damage from acid.
I really hope this torso party wipes us.
And then
so sad.
That is you, Moonshine.
I see the torso. I feel the draw to curb stomp and keep the curb stomping going. But then I run over to young Bev and I give him a 2nd level cure wounds. So that's going to be 19.
19. So I got 19 HP.
Great. Yeah. So I give him a kiss of life.
Cool.
But on his cheek, because I'm a scout mistress. I don't need any
scout
kind of allegations.
Mistress sounds so bad.
Well. Oh, my first cheek kiss.
Bev, you bounce back up. Hard One, that's you.
Can we say that when I cure wounds, it's like a kiss of life, but it's like good fungus?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so good fungus overtakes you.
Just some healthy algae.
It's like a portobello.
Yeah, she just spits very some nice. kombucha into your mouth.
I'll swing at the guy that the only guy that can still swing at us.
The headless guy can also swing.
Okay, so yeah. I guess I'll swing at the headless guy.
Cool.
Like to finish him
off.
He's
at 1 HP.
Oh, who's the highest HP?
There's a guy at like around 12 HP.
All right, I'll swing.
I shouldn't be telling you this guy's stuff, but he's at 12
HP. I'll swing at that guy.
Yeah.
And that is a 22.
That hits.
Ooh.
Great. And that is a 11.
Cool.
I just realized.
Still alive.
Still there, but
you
I'm
cut
take
off.
My...
You slash off one of his arms at the shoulder, so it's real gross. But he's still standing.
God, these guys are so disembodied. All right, I'm gonna swing at this dude again.
No.
Oh fuck yeah! Someone... I crit.
You crit.
Ooh. You guys know what happened? Hard One sugar crashed from the sticky buns, and now he's recovering from it.
Yeah, that, too much mellow cream.
That's a 31.
Jesus. Okay.
It was 37. By the way, I think Hard One just like secretly named his axe. He hasn't told anybody yet, but his axe has a name.
Oh.
Are you gonna utter it?
He's gonna do a baby reveal party.
Cool. Just
he's gonna have
finish
a cake.
Him.
All right. I whisper to my axe and I say, Gemma, let's do this.
Gemma.
I toss a sticky bun in the air, slice through it, and then finish the slice through the zombie, catch the sticky bun in 2 halves, and eat them both.
Of course, you drop your axe while you do this.
Yeah, you have to.
Axe wet with zombie flesh goes through the sticky bun. You bite into this absolutely disgusting sticky bun.
I spit it out instantly.
I see Hard One do this as I'm getting back to my feet, and I'm just filled with awe.
Hell yeah.
That is you, Bev. There's still a torso guy and a headless guy.
All right. I'm gonna take care of this headless guy. I'm just gonna keep. You know what? I'm just gonna do a divine smite. I'm gonna do a second level divine smite.
Okay.
So I like that these guys give us such a hard time. We really have to just kill them extra hard.
I'm not fucking around anymore.
Just in case your dad walks in right now.
All right, that's 14 plus 8. That should hit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now let's roll a million D8s.
Stop it, stop it. He's already dead.
Have pity on this zombie.
That's 27.
Finish him.
I tornado spin at him. And I just keep spinning so much that I do get a little dizzy and throw up.
Yeah, you've got that one level of exhaustion. I got you're not one feeling great.
And I just throw up all the sticky buns I ate.
Yeah, one torso guy left. It is his turn. He's going to try to bite Beverly. And he misses. But he's going to do another 6 damage to you, Bev.
I puke on him.
Oh, he doesn't like it. Or all he right. doesn't care, rather. Yeah. He just sounds like Ray Romano.
Somebody,
Deborah.
Somebody dubbed The Walking Dead, but with that voice.
Moonshine, you're up.
All right. It's time to curb stomp.
Yeah. Go.
Roll with advantage.
Oh, that curb stomp's going to connect.
Cool.
That's 23.
Finish him. Just finish him. He's at 1 HP. He's already been cut in half.
Before I stomp him, I get down. I look him eye to eye, and I think, or I say to him, death is a beautiful thing, but an unsettled death is ugly as hell. And then I stomp him. And then I do it really rhythmically so that we all have a little dance.
So you essentially do like a burpee. Like you get down to say that to him, and then you pop back up and stomp his head.
Yeah.
Cool. His head explodes. You guys are out of combat.
I'm still Woo! Stomping.
All right.
Okay, so, you know, y'all, we should huddle up for a second because...
Do you guys want to go to the kitchen?
Yeah, we fucked up your house pretty bad, huh? There was a tidal wave and there's a bunch of dead zombies in
there. You see Beverly's mom, Martha Togold, opens the door. Oh my God, there's a mess. Oh, it's just awful.
Sorry, we'll clean it up.
You don't have a maid or something?
Why don't you all come in? Well, yeah, I'll get the Broomba. Let's send the Broomba. Broomba out there. Broomba out there.
Broomba just like bumping into
Broomba
a zombie.
Broomba goes out. Broomba starts sweeping around the zombies, totally ineffective. Oh, your father's going to flip out when he
it's
sees
It's sort
of
this. Just moving the blood around.
Yeah,
your father's
going to
have a
Broomba.
Conniption.
Oh, boy.
Your father's going to have a conniption.
Okay, well, I don't know if I really have the patience to sit here while your dad gets mad about us defending your house, right?
Yeah, Mom, you saw we had to defend the house against those zombies.
Oh, I don't...
How often has this been happening,
honey,
by the way?
You know how your father gets. He's not... We've never had zombies attack the house. This is new.
Okay.
This is new for us.
So maybe we need to scoot before your dad gets back.
I would love it if I wasn't left alone with zombies.
What? Why don't we rest here for the night?
Why don't you guys stay for dinner?
That sounds great. That sounds really nice,
What are
actually.
You making?
What are you hungry for?
Sliders.
Sliders, yeah.
Oh, I can make little cheeseburger sliders.
Sloppy
sliders. Come in. She makes you guys sliders. There are Sloppy Joe sliders, cheeseburger sliders, chicken sliders, buffalo chicken sliders. She feeds you guys real good.
This is
you
a master course in hospitality.
Oh, boy.
You know how to host. Thank you.
Can I run a bath?
Absolutely. It's all yours, honey.
I run a really nice bath, like a bubble bath, and then I just wash Papa in it. I don't get it in myself.
Papa's just spinning, marking his territory, pissing all over the walls.
Oh, no.
Now that I know the soft spots are okay, I'm scrubbing him so hard. I found a rock outside, and I'm just scrubbing at him.
There's an indoor Broomba called Moppy, and he's doing his best.
I'd love to wash and comb my beard as well, actually.
Cool, you wash up.
Y'all, if we're having like a little pool party, maybe we should kind of talk about what just happened because I followed her.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, like, I'd like to be in the bath with Papa as we have this power.
Yeah.
Is everybody kind of bubble bathing?
I'm also
we're
going
all
after
a
hard one with the rock.
A pumice stone.
Yeah.
I'm exfoliating.
I feel I'm sitting on a little stool, reapplying my toe and foot makeup.
Nice. We're having a slumber party.
Yeah,
this is really
slumber
sweet.
Party.
Can I put foot makeup on both of them too?
Absolutely. Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. I've got 1 foot out of the bath getting made up.
And I feel like there's definitely different kind of signifiers with the way that the makeup is applied. I'm picturing it as kind of like symbols that denote like what your class and your type. So I'm gonna give you guys like honorary scoutmaster foot tattoos.
Cool.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Like henna, but yeah. With gold.
It's like golden henna, exactly.
And then I'm gonna teach Hardwon how to do a crick knot, which is basically like a dreadlock. And I do a crick knot in his beard.
Oh, that's so dope. Yeah.
We're all wearing big, fluffy green towels on our heads.
but more importantly than all this, the widow told me that, well, first off, she slit her throat, then turned into fog. So I don't think it was a true death.
Yeah.
Or some sort of magic was afoot. But she also told me that Glad murdered her husband.
What?
Glad.
Sir Roselle would never do something so despicable.
You sure?
So
he seemed like an asshole.
Well, I'm not as sure about stuff as I used to be fair, so I don't know.
There's a cynic in me that says a high elf who embraces the crick elf is almost too good to be true.
Yeah, this trip has made me learn to not trust anybody.
Do you think we should follow up with Sir Roselle? Should we try to talk to him tomorrow and see if he can give us some more information?
Sounds like we're not going to be able to talk to this widow. She turned into fog.
She is fog, it's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of clouds this high up in the mountains, so she's probably disguising herself pretty easily.
Bev, how well do you know this city? Do you know if there's any seedy taverns we could go get some information from unsavory characters who might be loose-lipped?
I feel like there's probably, like, the equivalent of a fantasy Hooters that I'm not allowed in.
There's a Lower Galateron is, like, the more blue-collar area where people definitely go to drink after work. Beverly was knocked out after having serious surgery. Beverly is going to suffer, like, 3 levels of exhaustion if you guys don't get along.
No, we're not going to go now. I'm talking about for tomorrow.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're all going to sleep together in my bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, one big bed. I love one big bed.
One big bed. One big bed. One big bed.
One big bed. One big bed. The bed is so small for Hardwood. Yeah. Cut to Hardwood falling across the entire. The bed is like half the size.
You see Martha Togold peeks in the room. So everybody, my son is in a bed with 2 adults. Okay, everybody have fun.
Don't worry, we're his scoutmaster.
Look at
mistress.
Our feet. Look
that
at
makes
our feet.
Me a little bit more worried. Oh, that's adorable. That's adorable. All right, good night, everyone. Good night.
I'm fast asleep.
Good night. Love you.
Love you, Mom.
Love you, Beverly. Love you, Moonshine. Love you, Hardwon.
I love you too.
Oh shit! Is this the first time someone's mom has ever said "I love you" to you?
It sure is.
Oh my god!
Hardwon lays awake for a full hour.
Martha Togold gives everybody a kiss on the forehead and tucks you guys in.
Oh my!
Do we? All right. I guess we sleep peacefully through the night.
Cool. You guys.
I sleep even though I normally trance. I want to. I really want to. Like, I don't want to have a trance over. I want to have a sleepover. So I straight up sleep for 8 hours.
Nice. Cool.
Since Moonshine, it's very rare for her to sleep all the way through the night. I would like to wake up early and cook a big apology breakfast for everyone.
Beverly, as you go down to cook the apology breakfast, you're kind of sneaking along.
Yep.
Your mother isn't awake yet. And there's a knock at your door as you go into the kitchen.
Oh, Broomba, can you get that? Oh, you're busy. Okay.
Broomba's just sweeping.
All right. I go and I guess I look through the little peephole to see who it is.
You look through the little peephole and you see 3 paladins at your door.
Do I know which oath they are?
They are one of each. There's one from the Chosen, one from the Green Knights, and one from the White Knights.
Okay. Who is it?
Is your mother home, kid?
Yes, but she's asleep. I'm Beverly Togold, her son.
You see they kind of whisper amongst themselves. Please open the door, son.
Oh, Melora, yours. Dad.
Could you say your names, please? I just need to make sure I don't open the door for strangers. It's kind of a house policy.
So the main guy, the guy who's a white knight is this human guy, and he says, I'm Lieutenant Naaman. This is Torek and Ala.
Yeah, I open the door.
He looks at you and he sighs.
Would you like some coffee?
We're okay, kid. Look,
okay.
Son, and he gets down on one knee and he says, your father has been arrested for the murder of High Priest Merrick Highhill.
What the fuck?
I dropped the 3 coffees I'm holding.
And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh, shit.
What?
Oh my god, this show is so fun!
I love it.
We're just asleep. We're asleep.
Yeah, y'all are asleep. The bacon is burning.
It works out perfectly narratively that you went down there by yourself.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so god. Great that you went down to make an apology breakfast.
Hot damn, that was a good ep.
Good work.
That was a fun one, guys.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, guys, rate the show, please. We always need ratings.
Love them.
Follow us on Twitter, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake.
I crave ratings.
Mm-hmm.
At CH Murph is me. At Eaxford is Emily. At Caldy is Caldwell. Guys, check out me and Emily's book, Hey You Up, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact. It's only like $7-$8 on Amazon
That's
now.
That's a good price.
And there's also the audiobook is out on Audible, so check it out there. Anything else?
Oh,
go ahead.
All right. I was just going to say, I've got a bunch of stuff in the P.O. box. I still need to check it. But if you want to send us stuff, you can send it to 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027.
Dope.
Yeah.
Mine is much more self-serving.
Oh.
Amir and I are coming to Dublin and Amsterdam.
Ooh.
Our London show sold out. But if you live in fucking Amsterdam, we have no idea if we have fans there, but come... Let us know if you live there.
Let's hope so, man.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot riding on this. I don't want to take a 15-hour flight and then have a sad show.
And then you're going to be real stoned, so you're going to freak out if there's only like three people in the crowd.
Oh, yeah. I will be tripping.
The only time in my life I was in Amsterdam, I did mushrooms and then went to a fancy restaurant and they kicked in. And it was a restaurant that didn't have menus. The guy, the waiter had to explain, what they had, and it was the worst experience of my life. Don't go to a nice meal.
So, yeah.
Whatever you do when you travel abroad, don't go to a nice meal.
Don't go to a nice meal.
That's moonshine advice.
If you don't go to Jake's show in Amsterdam, he will drown in a canal.
That's true.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, guys, and tweet about the show with hashtag NADDPOD, baby.
POD.
We are. You are the nation. We are.
That was a HeadGum podcast.